This morning I want to talk to you about an article that you'll find in your bulletin. I hope you picked up your bulletin. If you have, please open to the inside, to the middle page. It is, I guess you might say, sort of an outline of what we're going to be talking about today. You know, I want to begin by reading a passage of Scripture that is found in Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7, beginning with verse 9. And if you don't have your Bibles, you can follow along on the screen. "And after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. All the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessed and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from? And I said to him, Sir, you know. And he said to me, These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation, and washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. And they shall neither hunger any more, nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them, and lead them into living fountains of waters. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This group of people that John saw in this vision were people of the tribulation. These were people who had suffered because of their Christianity. And when the elder said, "Who are these people?" John says, "Well, you know," because John didn't know. They were people who had gone through all the troubles, all the tribulations, all the trials of life. And now they stand around the throne of God. They had gone through the very worst in order to receive the very best. And this morning, my friends, what I want to talk to you about is what it takes to stand alone, if we have to stand alone with our Christianity. Because here is people who literally had to stand alone, stand in the minority, stand against the popularity of the world and the evil and the wickedness of the world to maintain their relationship with God and their Christianity. And they were willing to do this. And the reward was great. Now, I don't have to tell anyone here today, if you are a child of God, you're going to have people that oppose you. You will have people to laugh at you. You will have people that will scoff at you. You may even have those who want to do you ill will and do you harm because of your Christianity. And sometimes it's going to be difficult to be a Christian. And we must make up our minds as we deal with things like this from day to day. Are we going to give in and give up and just go back into the world? Or are we going to do like these people here that John writes about in Revelation chapter 7? Are we going to continue and endure whatever persecution comes before us so that we can one day, like them, stand around God's throne? So as you face the troubles, the tribulations, the difficulties of your Christianity, even if you find yourself standing by yourself and the whole world seems to be against you, And it's so easy to lay down your Christianity and walk back into the world. When you face this, and you will, I want you to remember about these people. They have stood in your shoes. They have lived the life that you are living right now. And they made the right decision. This morning, there are seven things, or seven groups of people, or seven people who had to face this that we have record of in the Bible. That's what the middle article in the bulletin is about. So that's what I want to talk about this morning. As we stand facing evil, as we stand perhaps facing Satan himself, as we stand perhaps by ourselves with no one standing with us, and have to make that decision as to which direction to go, I want us to think about these people. I want us to think about these seven here. For example, imagine for just a moment that you are among the eight people that is to board the ark. You know, God came to Noah, and he said, "And I will destroy all flesh. Everything, every living creature on this earth will die except you and your family inside of the ark." The right thing to do, Noah, is to build that ark. The right thing to do, Noah, is to ensure that your family is safe inside of that ark, because everything else will be destroyed. Can you imagine what was going through the mind of Noah as he and his family walked up into the door of that ark and walked inside? Knowing that when they came out, they would be the only living people on the face of the earth. They would literally stand alone. And they would stand alone as the only people to survive the flood. Imagine standing alone. It would make some people say, "No, Lord, don't do this. Don't destroy humanity. Other members of my family are out there. My friends are out there. People that I see every day are out there. Don't destroy them. Don't take them away from me." But yet, Noah did the right thing, and he stepped inside of that ark. When you face doing the right thing versus doing the wrong thing, think about those who escaped Sodom and Gomorrah. We know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, tremendously wicked cities. And they had caught the attention of God. And God said, "I am going to destroy them." But Lot and his family was still in Sodom. And so the angel of the Lord goes to Lot and says, "The Lord is going to destroy the cities." Now remember, Lot chose Sodom. Years before, Abraham gave him an opportunity to choose where he would live. And he chose the plains of Sodom because it was beautiful. It was a great place to be a shepherd. It was a great place to grow crops. It was a great place to live. It was a paradise. And he loved it there. His family loved it there. And now it's going to be destroyed. And Lot, you have a choice. You can either do the right thing and leave, or you can stay. And can you imagine what went through his mind as he realized he had to leave his home? He had to leave even members of his family, because not all of them would go with him. Only he, his wife, and his two daughters would leave. And even his wife, when they were leaving, turned around and disobeyed God's word in turning around and looking, and she was destroyed on the spot as well. Sometimes that's the price you pay for doing the right thing. But all what had to go through his mind as they was running into the hills, hearing the fire, the brimstone behind them, hearing the screams of the people that was succumbing to the flame, and seeing his world torn apart. Sometimes we have to make that decision to follow God. And then I think about David, a young man whose faith in God was insurmountable. He had the faith in God to step out in front of the entire Israeli army to face a giant two, maybe three times his size. Can you imagine the fear that everyone else had of Goliath? An entire army feared Goliath, this one man, this great giant. And then here comes this young man. The Bible calls him ruddy. That means he's a youth. He's an inexperienced youth. Probably about 14 years of age. To stand up against this giant. Yes, he had faith in God or he would not be standing there. But there had to be an element of fear in his mind as he seen this huge thing coming after him. But with his faith in God, he did the right thing. And you know what had to cross his mind? If he fails, all of Israel would fall. Sometimes our decisions can affect other people. Sometimes our decision to do the wrong thing will affect other people. So we need to think about things like that when we face our opposition to our love for God. I think about Elijah. To me, Elijah was one of the most creative characters in the Bible. One man literally stood up against a nation because Ahab had already turned the majority of Israel against God. And one man walks up to the children of Israel on Mount Carmel and says, listen, you have to make a choice. You need to decide today who you are going to serve. If it is going to be God, serve God. If it is going to be Baal, serve Baal. But today is the day that you will decide. And he's doing this all by himself. And all by himself. Because God was standing by him. He did the right thing. He challenged the prophets of Baal. And he won the victory. You see, the prophets of Baal were to call down fire from Baal to destroy the altar and the sacrifice that was on it, and they could not do it. They cried all day and all night. They cut themselves with blades. They done everything they could think of to get Baal's attention, and they could not do it. And Elijah, one time, called upon the Lord God, and the fire came. And after the fire had destroyed that altar and that sacrifice and 12 barrels of water that surrounded it, he took those 450 false prophets of Baal to Kidron and destroyed them all there. He was one man doing the right thing when his world was against him. He had suffered, but yet he prevailed. I think about three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. The king has put out the proclamation, you are to bow to the king's idol. And they refused. He calls them into the chambers and said, I'm going to give you one more chance. They are facing their life or their death when they face their king. Either you bow down or I will throw you into the fiery furnace. Now, can you imagine how they felt? Especially when they said no because their faith in God was strong. And as those soldiers walked them to that furnace and the soldiers began to drop dead because of the heat of the furnace around them. And as they stepped inside, they stood against the whole nation. But God stood with them. and helped them. So when we stand against the world, if you don't get anything else from this lesson, if you stand against the world, please know, please understand that you will have God standing by you. And in this story particularly, as they looked inside of that fiery furnace, they saw four people walking around in that fire. And one of them said, "Didn't we throw three people in? And there I see four." That fourth one was God. An angel of God walked that fire with them, and they were not hurt. That can happen, friends, when you do the right thing. When you stand up for God, even if you have to stand alone, God will stand with you. I think about the woman, and it happened to be Mary, at the home of Lazarus, John chapter 12. She brought out a very precious vial of ointment and began to wash Jesus' feet. And you know, everyone in that house was followers of Jesus. There was no reason for her to believe that anyone would despair or disagree with what she was about to do. So she began to wash her master's feet because she loved the Lord. She followed the Lord. She served the Lord. And yet as she was doing this, one of the apostles himself, which happened to be Judas, condemned her for this act of goodness. "This is such a waste," he said. "You could take this and give it to the poor." I wonder what went through her mind as she was challenged by one of God's own servants. Now here's the message for this story. Sometimes our goodness is challenged by even those around us. Sometimes we may want to do the right thing, and we may have someone who is among us who will say, "No, you don't need to do the right thing. You need to do something different." Because this is what happened to Mary. Who would have thought that one of Jesus' apostles would condemn her for this good act? So even among ourselves, we have to be sure that we maintain the dexterity in our lives to do the right thing. And then finally, in John chapter 19, we find Jesus on the cross. He has gone through the mockery of the trial. He has watched all of his disciples flee. He heard one deny him three times. Now he is nailed to this cross. He is taking his final breaths. Yet one of the apostles came back. One of the apostles stood at the cross of Jesus. It was the apostle John. And can you imagine what went through his mind as he stood there watching Jesus die? Yes, he had run away like the rest. Yes, him standing there, it was convicting him of being a part of Jesus. They could have just as easily turned around and grabbed him and put him on a cross because he was there supporting the Savior. But he stood there. And not only did he stand there, he agreed to take care of Jesus' mother. He did the right thing, even when the eyes of the world was against him. Like I said earlier, if you don't remember anything else from this lesson, even if you have to stand alone, always remember, you're not alone. John knew that God stood by him. Mary knew that God stood by her. So did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So did Elijah. So did David. So did Lot and his family. And so did Noah and his family. They knew that with God on their side, who can be against them? And the answer to that is no one. When you think about those people around the throne of God in Revelation chapter 7, as they was going through their tribulation, as the writer called it, they knew that it was the right thing to do. They may not have understood that they would be standing around God's throne, but they knew that only good could come from standing for God. And today, my friends, I tell you, nothing but good can come from standing for God. So today, my friends, I'm asking you to stand for God. And perhaps you too can be among the number that is standing around God's throne. Today, my friends, if you are not a Christian, we want to give you an opportunity to obey the Lord today. To put faith into your life, to repent of the sins that are in your life, to confess Jesus as God's only Son, to be buried with Him in baptism for the remission of your sins, that you can stand free and clear, and you can stand up for God. And regardless of what the world does to you, with God standing with you, this can be your result, to be around the throne of God for all eternity with His people. And we give you that opportunity today. And if you are a Christian, and if you have faced these temptations, these trials, these tribulations, and if you have given in to them, you can still come back to God. And He will welcome you with open arms. If you will confess your faults, He will forgive you. And you can stand free again, and someday around the throne of God. Do the right thing. Even if you have to stand alone, the reward is worth the effort. This morning, if you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand and sing.